All right, how's everybody doing this morning? Boo-hoo. All right, it got up early, right? You all got up early, you're here, and you're on with a great day as we start this morning. But I want to start with a problem, all right? I'm just going to start with a problem, and I seem awful loud, so we'll go from that. We got people that are sick and all sorts of stuff going on. Last week, or the week before last, our president gets up and says he's not going to defend some of the laws. Back in 1992, President Clinton signed a bill that says marriage is, it's called the Marriage Family Act, marriage is between a man and a woman. And our president says, I'm not going to defend that law anymore. Now, I don't want to be political about this, but I'm going to go on. We have a Republican governor here in the past few years. We had a Republican governor. We passed a proposition called Prop 8. And our governor goes, I'm not going to defend that law as the California Supreme Court hears that law. And I sat here and I watched them do this. And it has nothing to do with politics, Republican, Democrat. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking, how do you pick and choose what laws you follow? I thought when you were president, I'm on a school board. I have to stand there every November when this comes for my reelection. And I get on the school board. I have to stand there and swear that I'm going to uphold the laws of the Constitution of the state of California and the laws of the United States. And I have to swear that I'm going to do it. And here we have leaders of our country, leaders of our state saying, I'm going to pick and choose what laws I enforce. But we all do that, all right? I'm not going to just fall on them. Now, maybe you're not like me, but there's a lot of people like me. I get on the freeway, and the sign says 65, but the speedometer says 75, okay? Yeah. And I go flying down the freeway, and I pick and choose what laws. Now, I tell you, it really gets nice when you get down by Fresno, then it goes to 70, and then it's not so bad. I'm closer. Now, you're laughing at me, but I'm sure some of you go down Sisk Road, right? Down Sisk Road, down there by Walmart and all of that, and you're going down the road at about 45, right? The speed limit's 40. All right? Or how many drive through Salida, and you're going down Broadway in Salida at about 30, 35? And the speed limit's 25. We pick and choose the laws. We pick and choose what we want to follow. See, we make evaluations and decisions. And I want to talk about that this morning because what I've been talking about, I began last week, is we're talking about how Satan just twists things. That Satan is that great deceiver and that there's an invisible world out there. Remember we talked about germs last week? You weren't here last week. What I did is I talked about germs and everybody believes there's germs. You know, you wash your hands, you make sure, you know, that you try to stay away from germs because you don't want to get a cold. You don't want to get sick, and you avoid germs. And we believe in this invisible world of germs. And last week, I proposed to you that there's another invisible world out there in which the devil, the demons, prowl and work. And they're out there to deceive us. And if you don't think they're out there to deceive us, all you got to do is look in the rearview mirror of your life. How many of you here have looked at your life and you look back over something and you go, what was I thinking? You know, you made that decision and you look back, oh man, that was the stupidest thing I ever done. Anybody besides me ever say things like that? You know, we just get deceived. And Satan's that great deceiver. It sounds good. It looks good. It feels good. You know, it's just the right thing to do. And then you look back in that rearview mirror going, oh man, I should have seen that. Would have never worked. I should have known that. And we reach those points in our life, and it's Satan just twisted a little bit. He hides. He doesn't want you to know it. He doesn't want you to know it's him. He conceals himself, but he just gives that little twist. And I want to go into these in this next 4 weeks. We're going to continue this idea of twisting. And this morning, I want to talk about how Satan twists authority. The presidents and the governors can say, I'm not going to follow those laws. I know they're passed. I know it was signed, but I'm not going to follow those laws. Yeah. We get in our car and we don't follow the laws. Our parents give us curfews, or our pastor gives us a 9 o'clock curfew on Saturday. Some of you know who I'm talking to, right? I tell some of these, you got a 9 o'clock curfew on Saturday night. And do you do it? Sometimes, okay. I'll give them that. Yeah. We pick and choose those laws. April 15th is rolling around, and there's a big day on April 15th. It is the IRS celebration. And, and we pick and choose. Well, you know what? That should be a deduction. I mean, it makes sense. I mean, anybody would say that was a deduction. Anybody would say that if you're smart enough, that's a deduction. They just haven't caught up with me yet. They just haven't figured it out yet. So I'm just going to go ahead and take that deduction. But we look at authority and we weigh those decisions. Here's what we do. We look at those decisions and somebody says, here's the rule. You got a 9 o'clock curfew, or you're supposed to have this paper due, or you're supposed to perform this activity at work. And we set all this authority up, and then we step back and go, I need to check it out. I need to see if that is about me. I need to evaluate. And here's what we really do. When somebody says these are the rules, we evaluate the rules. Does it apply to me? My wife gets aggravated with me. I drive through the parking lot at the mall. Anybody go at the parking lot at the mall? Anybody been to the mall? Anybody? Yeah. I drive around the back of the mall. You know, they got that big old road that goes around the back. So I'm on Dale Road, and I want to get over to Sisk Road. I'll go around behind the mall on that road behind the mall. If you go around that road behind the mall, there are several stop signs. They're irrelevant stop signs. All right? I don't even know why they're there. It just doesn't make sense to have those stop signs. So as I go around the mall, I don't stop. Laura gets aggravated. It's like there's no cars coming. There's nobody here. There's a sidewalk. Nobody's walking across. I mean, there's nothing out in that field out there for somebody to walk out there to. You know what stop sign I'm talking about behind the mall? Some of you guys are going, yeah, I know that one. Yeah, I just keep going. We evaluate the laws. It's irrelevant law. What's the big deal? Nobody's there. Nobody's at the mall. I remember on my way to church when I was a teenager, I used to ride a motorcycle. I'd strap my Bible on the back of my motorcycle, and I would fly out of the parking lot of this mall onto what was called 65th Expressway. And I'd be right on down the road. I just keep going. Well, one day I'm going, and I look up, and in Sears parking lot, there's a CHP. And it's like, oh, man. It's 8 o'clock in the morning. There's nobody on these roads. So, there's a cop. I just pull over and wait in the parking lot for him because he's coming. Here I got my Bible strapped on the back of my motorcycle, and he gets out and he walks around. He checks all my thing, takes my license. I'm just going, I was stupid. Yep, And he didn't give me a ticket because I was right. That stop sign was irrelevant. That's how we make our decisions. When it comes to authority, we want to measure it. We want to see, does that authority matter to me? I'm smarter. I know more. I'm better. I understand. I know what's good. I can judge it for myself. And we want to take authority, every authority there is. That 9 o'clock curfew on Saturday night, is that really, that's awful early. It's Saturday night. There's no school tomorrow. But no, there's church. We want to evaluate these laws, that tax deduction. That policy at work. The boss says this and we need to do this. That's stupid. I don't know what's the boss thinking, man. And we want to evaluate all this authority. And see what we're talking about. And here's what I want us to think about, because here's what Satan twists. We always talk about the what of the authority. What is the 9 o'clock? What is that deduction? What is that policy? What is that speed limit? We're always talking about the what, and we want to evaluate the what. And that's what Satan twists. But God has something different. Now, what you're going to do with me this morning, we're going to look at God's Word, and we're going to kind of talk about it. It's going to be more like a Bible study this morning. But at the end, I'm going to tie it all together, so you're going to have to hang with me. I'm going to tie it all together and show you how it all really works and why it's so important to think about authority. I grew up in my home, and when I was growing up, I never remember having a curfew. I never remember my dad saying, here's the curfew. The rule in my house was, call me and let me know where you're at. It was really embarrassing when you're 21 years old and you're at your girlfriend's house and your dad shows up at the door at 1 o'clock. That was embarrassing. If I would have just called, he wouldn't have come looking for me. I was really mad at my brother who showed him where my girlfriend lived. He could have just lied. Yeah. That my brother took it to my girlfriend's house where I'm sitting in the living room with my girlfriend. You know, it's 1 o'clock. I didn't call. That was only, you know, that was the rule. That was the authority. You know? But we always just want to twist. It's the what. 9 o'clock's too early. Can it be 10? Well, you know, 65 is awful slow. It's sunny. There's no rain on the road. Man, I can go 85 out here. I'm driving to L.A., and it's a 300-mile trip, and if I can go 85, it's a 4-hour trip instead of a 6-hour trip. Yeah. And we evaluate these things, and we make our decisions based on us and what we think, and we're smarter, and we're richer, and we're no more than they did. But God says, you know what? It's not about the what. What I want to propose to you and what we're going to look at this morning, it's about the who. It's about the who, not the what. So in your worship folder, there's a little outline. I'm going to encourage you to get it out. I'm getting mine out. And I just kind of want to go into this as we talk and we look at this. Because what usually happens is we look at these and we look at authority. And if we disagree with it, we ignore it. Like I ignore those stop signs. We just ignore them. It's just like they're not even there. We disregard the speed limit sign. You know, if that authority doesn't fit with what we think or how we feel, we'll just disregard it. We'll ignore it. We'll disobey it. And we talk about the what. I want you this morning to think about the who. And so we're going to look into the book of Romans, and Paul talks about authority and the who with authority. And I want to begin with this. We're going to look at Romans. Now, you need to make sure you understand this. Anybody know their history about Rome? Anybody going to know a guy named Nero? Anybody remember studying in school about a guy named Nero? Real nice guy, pleasant guy, loved everybody, really worked with everybody. You guys are all laughing because I'm being sarcastic, aren't I? He hated Christians. He burned people at the stake. If you guys didn't know this, Domitian and these guys, they didn't have electricity. You know, they didn't bring in, you know, hey, let's run the power lines and light my party out back. They would literally take Christians, put them on a stake, dip them in oil, and light them on fire. That was their candlelight, all right? That's what they did. You know, hey, we're going to have a party tonight, and we're going to feed the lions. Let's go feed the lions. Oh, you're going to be the food. Let's go. You know? And they were doing this with all these Christians, killing them, feeding them to the lions, burning them on the stake. You know, here's the city of Rome, the whole community of Rome, and just wiping out these Christians. Now, Paul's writing these guys a letter about authority. All right, now think about this. You're in a town, and they're killing all your friends, your brother, your sister, your mother, all your Christian brothers, and they're murdering left and right. And Paul's coming out, and he's going to write a thing about authority. And Paul's going to say, all right, he's going to tell us how to deal with these evil, rotten people. You know, civil disobedience and riots, and we'll learn how to deal with all this evil government. Listen to what Paul says. Here's these guys who are dying, crucified, putting to death. Look at what he says as he says this. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities. What did he say? Some of you, a few of you, everyone must submit themselves to the governing authorities. Paul, don't you know that they just killed Brother Paul over here? Don't you know they just murdered my cousin over here? Paul, don't you see what's happening here? You're telling us to submit to these guys who are killing us. And Paul sits there and says, yes. Submit to authority. Submit to those who are over you. Submit, let's make this practical. Submit to those stop signs, Gary. Submit to that speed limit sign. Submit to your parents at that curfew. Submit to the IRS when it comes to tax time. You know, for me to hear a Christian say, I don't believe the government's right, so I haven't paid taxes in 4 years. Well, you haven't done what God said. Yeah. Paul's sitting there saying, submit. It doesn't matter if it's good authority or bad authority. Doesn't matter if it's righteous authority or unrighteous authority. Submit to the authority. And so I gave you a definition of submit. To arrange under, it should be up here on the screen too. To arrange under, to subordinate, to subject, to put in subjection. You can read on all those definitions there. But it's basically you just surrender. Whatever it says, I do. That's really what it says. Paul is sitting there saying, obey authority. Excuse me. Obey it. If it says it, do it. He didn't say pick and choose. He didn't say you get to evaluate it. He didn't say you're smart enough to figure it out. He didn't say work it out. He didn't say ignore it, disregard it, disobey it. He says submit to authority. Good, bad. Righteous, unrighteous. It doesn't matter. Submit. But I also give you a definition of authority. Look at this. The power of the ruler or government, the power of whose will and commands must be submitted to by others and obey. It's the power, the man with the power, right? You submit to authority. Now, like I said, you're going to have to hang with me in this message. It's going to be more of a teaching kind of a message, but you need to understand what he's saying here. He's saying there is a human authority out there. There's a system of government here in America that we need to submit to. Now, I don't mind authority. I really like authority when it's in my control. I'm the parent. I'm the authority. That's fun. I like the police when I'm in authority. I need some help. Get over here and help me. I don't like the police when the lights are flashing behind me and they're saying, pull over, pull over. Yeah, I don't want that authority. You know, I don't like that one. But I can't pick and choose the authority. Paul sits here and says, obey, submit to authority. If it's your parents, you submit. If it's your boss at work, you submit. If it's the government, you submit. They are the ones in authority. But Paul goes on as he describes this. And so it's not going to be on the screen, so you're going to have to follow along in your little paper there. The authorities that exist have been established by, anybody see the next word there on your outline? Why don't you circle it? It's called God. He's saying God has established all this authority. All authority starts with God. The authorities that exist have been established by God. He repeats himself twice. It's like, don't you get it? Can't you hear me? Listen, all authority. Now wait, if you didn't hear me, all authority. He repeats himself. Well, they're evil here. Rome is horrible. Rome is killing everybody. Can't you see this, Paul? And Paul says, it doesn't matter. Submit to the authority. Because all authority originates with God. We need to understand that all human authority originates with God. It starts with God. And we need to understand that. Whatever it is. I mean, you know, I could look at my IRS and start doing my taxes, and it's like, come on, man, look. They're asking for too much this year. I got to find some more deductions. Anybody like me? Now, here's my rule when it comes to IRS. I look for every loophole they create because they create them for a reason. Yeah. And if they create them for somebody else, it might as well be for me too. But I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to cheat. I'm going to do whatever they say, but I'm going to submit. I'm an older man now, not going to say. But I still submit to my parents. I don't call them as much as I should, but I still need to listen to my parents. I need to hear what they say. Authority. We need to understand it all starts with God. All human authority starts with God. And so he goes on, and here's what I want to make the connection with. As you look at this, we want to argue the what about authority. And Paul says it's not about the what, it's about the who. Look at your outline and look at what's on the screen here. It's not about the what, it's about the who. See, we want to evaluate the what of authority. What are they asking me to do? What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to submit to? And Paul says, listen, it's not about the what. It's not about the what. It's about the who. And who is in authority? God. This is what Paul is sitting there saying. God is the one that's in authority. It is God's power. It's not about the... And so what it boils down to is our attitude. And this is how Satan twists it. See, he just a little bit. Oh, that's stupid. That rule is silly. Oh, come on. No logical person would believe that. That just doesn't even make sense. They're not even thinking straight. How would anybody write a law like that? Why would they put a stop sign at the end of a sidewalk and there is nothing on the other side but a field that's empty? I've never seen anybody walk out there. Some stupid guy designed that parking lot and put a stop sign for no reason. And I'm smart enough that I don't need to stop there. Have you ever thought about laws that way in your life? Have you ever looked at something? My parents said, they don't even understand. They're old. You know, this is a new generation, and we're smarter than they were. We know better now. I remember having a conversation one time with some young men. We had just went through a conference, and we're talking about dating. And we're talking about staying pure and all of those conversations. And it was a great conversation. The guy did a great prayer. He talked about, you know, you start out holding hands, and pretty soon holding hands isn't enough. So you start putting your arm around them, and that's not enough. You know, a few weeks later, that's not enough. So then you start making out. You know, you guys know what I'm talking about, right? You guys are awful quiet. But pretty soon, making out's not enough, all right? You know what comes next, right? Do I need to talk? I'll skip. We got some young ones here. We're just going to keep going. Yeah. And so you keep going, you know, because it's not enough, and it's not enough. And after this conference, I went and I asked these young men, I said, well, what do you guys think? Yeah, you know, that's good ideas, but we're smarter now. I know when to stop. I'm smart enough. I know when to stop. And I looked at him, I go, you ever seen a smart girl pregnant? Yeah. Well, they were smart enough to stop too. Just a little late. Yeah. We need to think about these rules. It's like this authority. You don't get it. You're an old fogey. You're just the preacher. You don't understand the world out there that we face. Yeah. We need to think about these things. See, we want to talk about the what. And Paul is sitting there saying, listen, it's about the who. It's not about the what. It's not about, well, that's a smart rule. That's a dumb rule. That's dumb authority. That's unrighteous authority. It's not about that. Paul's sitting there saying it's about the who. And the who is God. The who is God. He goes on, if you're looking at your outline, it's not going to be on the screen again because I didn't break these verses. I should have broken them up different on the screen for you. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against God. For God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. Here's what you need to understand. When I disobey, when I ignore, I decide I know better, I decide I know what's best, and I blow off the authority, it am blowing off God. That's what he's sitting there saying. Now, I don't think in that terms very often. When I'm driving down the freeway or riding behind the mall, I don't think about it. I think, you know, long as the guy with the bubble on top doesn't see me, I'm okay. But you know what? God sees me. God knows. And this has become a big deal. Stay with me because this becomes a big deal later. So you need to hang with me for just a little while longer, because I'm going to show you how all this ties together and what it means. Because here's what it's starting to say. Here's what God is starting to say. Every decision we make is a spiritual decision. Everyone. Everything in our life is a spiritual decision. Whatever authority I rebel against, whatever authority I bow up on and say, yeah, uh-huh, try to make me, is a challenge to God. This is what Paul is saying. You know, we try to compartmentalize our lives. Here's my religious life, my church life, and here's my life in the world. The daily things I got to face at work, at job, at the market, at the bank. Here's my, and we try to compartmentalize our life. And Paul is sitting there saying, listen, everything you do has spiritual implications. Every aspect of your life is a spiritual life. And that's a challenge. Because we don't want to pick and choose. See, I'm going to keep saying this. It's not about the what, it's about the who. And we don't want to rebel against God. I don't want to ignore God. I don't want to disregard God. It's about the who. And Paul sits here and he writes this. And most of us, if you're like me, I'm going to drive to Georgia to see my son. Now, I'll get in the car. Last time I went through Arizona, and they have these cameras that take pictures on the freeway now and all of this kind of stuff. And what I've learned is this. Long as I don't go over 80, I'm okay. So I'll get in my car, and I'll set my speedometer at 78 miles an hour, put cruise control on, and just cruise right through Arizona. Now, this sermon's made me think, what am I doing? You know, am I really right? Well, I'm a good driver. You know what? If everybody had the skills I had, we wouldn't have any accidents. I mean, come on. I know how to drive. I can turn a car into a slide and handle the slide. I can drive, man. See, if everybody, we create these images in our head, don't we? See, that's the twist. That's what Satan, just a twist. It doesn't bother anybody. It's okay. That's a stupid law. That's unrealistic. That's old. We're new today. It's different today. And we just twist these rules. And Paul is sitting there saying there's consequences. It's not about the what, it's about the who. And you're flaunting these laws and you're flaunting authority, you're flaunting God. But most of us want to obey it as long as we don't get in trouble. And Paul deals, I love this. Look what he says here. Let's go on and read some more scripture. For rulers hold the terror over those who do right. But for those who do wrong, do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and he will commend you. For he is God's servant to do you good. Matter of fact, why don't you underline that? We're going to come there. For he is God's servant to do you good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant, an angel of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. I want you to look at that. For he is God's servant to do you good. God has set authority up to do good for us. Even unrighteous, no good authority is to do us good. That's a challenge. He's writing these Christians who are dying in Rome and saying, listen, that Nero who's killing everybody, that Nero who's leading this Rome to persecute all the Christians, God's working through that. I don't know how. I don't get it. But God's doing something through that. He's been consistent. God has done this from the very beginning. From the very beginning, it's been God. I mean, let's go back and look at some of the incidents in the Old Testament. Israel's in bondage in Egypt. There's 2 million of them. They could have had a nice little riot. There's 2 million of them. Marched right out of Egypt. But they waited until God raised the man Moses to bring them out of Egypt, and they followed Moses. See, God has that ultimate authority. Over and over you read the scripture. Talk about Daniel. wanted to eat fruits and vegetables. Didn't want to bow down to this statue of the king. Went and talked. Solved the problem. See, we need to understand that there's consequences and it's from God. There's situations and it's from God. You know, I go back and you need to understand, this goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Think about it. Garden of Eden, there's a tree. Anybody remember the tree? We usually call it an apple tree. We don't know what kind of tree, just so you know. We don't know, but, you know, just for point of illustration, it's an apple tree or whatever kind of tree. God says, don't eat of the tree. Well, what sense does it make? It's a tree with good-looking fruit on it. Come on. Think about it. The devil shows up, that invisible world reveals itself. He shows up and says, look, doesn't it look good? It looks good. It tastes good. It'd make you even smarter if you eat it. Come on, you're smart enough to understand. It's like all the other trees. There's nothing, you know, it's just a fruit on a tree. You know, and then Eve starts questioning, well, what? That's a silly rule. If it's good food, why can't we eat it? That's a dumb law. I mean, it's here in the garden with everything else. Why can't we eat that one? That's silly. Look at it. It looks good. Matter of fact, it's going to taste good. We'll just eat it. I don't care what the authority said. I'm smart enough to figure this out on my own. But there's consequences. Do you see how Satan works? Just twist. Just a little tweak. You're 16 years old. You climb in a car. You got a six-pack of beer. I know better than to drive. It's just a six-pack. We'll sit there. We'll drink the six-pack with my friends. We'll just hang out together. I used to sit in the middle of Broadway here in Salida till they put the divider in Broadway. That's where they used to hang out. When I came to Salida, there was trees down Main Street. They're still there. And kids on Friday and Saturday night would park in the middle of Main Street. Sat there and drank their alcohol. You know how many kids were killed? There was one killed right out here on Jackson Road who ran into a hay truck, middle of the night. Good family. Good family. Tragic. But I'm smart enough. I know when to stop. I know how much I can handle. It's silly, you know, yeah, I know you're supposed to be 18. No, you're supposed to be 21. Well, you know, 18's old enough. Come on. I'm in college now. I can handle it. Marijuana. Let's just legalize marijuana. Come on, man. It's okay. It won't hurt you. I just watched an interesting study the other day. You know what they're proving now? People who habitually use marijuana when they get older have schizophrenia. Seriously. I mean, these studies are starting to show people who habitually use marijuana have schizophrenia now. Well, we know better. It's not going to be me. It's going to be them. It's not me. I'm different. I'm not like everybody else. I'm unique. This is Gary the Great. Come on. Cut me some slack. Do we do that with our rules? Come on, am I off base here? Or am I, you know, do we just tweak it a little bit? I sat there and I watched these cop shows and the guy's sitting in the car with an open container. Well, I'm not driving. Well, you're going to start it pretty soon and go somewhere. You need to know, it's against, just in case you didn't know, it is even against the law to have an open container even if your car is parked. Okay, just give you a heads up. All right? But I'm different. Mom and Dad, yeah, I know, you know, I know I should be home at 10. I know school's tomorrow, but I can get a good night. I can get away with 4 hours of sleep. I don't need 8 hours of sleep, Mom. I'm not like everybody else. We tell our boss, I know what's best. You got that all wrong, man. You don't add those numbers up right. That's not the way to do it. Let me show you how to do this. And we don't see the picture that God wants to use these things for good. And the problem is, We just want to stay out of trouble. I just don't want to get in trouble. Look at this next. I love this next part of the scripture. Look at what Paul sits here and says. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to all authorities, not only because of possible punishment. He says, listen, submit not only because you're not going to get, because you don't want to get in trouble. Now, I'll watch my speed limit because I don't want to get a ticket. But if you're like me, I'm going to go as fast as I can, as long as I can get away with it. I just don't want to get caught. Come on now. I know I'm not the only one. I see some of you on the freeway too, okay? So don't act all innocent to me, all right? Don't act like it's not you. I'm not saying I'm right. I'm just saying we all need to watch this. We're all afraid of possible punishment. But because of its conscience, this is also why you pay taxes for the authorities or God's servants. You give their full time to governing. Give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. He's saying submit, not just because there's a fear of punishment. It's not about the what, it's about the who. I obey, I submit, I listen to authority because of the who. And the who isn't my boss. The who isn't that parent. The who is God. All right? That's the who. And we need to see that and understand that and get a picture of that. But we want to question authority. We want to look. We want to, like, each rule by itself. What? What is that? I'm smarter. I understand more. I've had different experiences in life. But I'm sure some of you are going to sit here and say something like, you just don't know my parents. They don't go to church. You know, my boss, he's right from the pits of hell himself. He's the devil. You know, come on. He might not have the horns, but man, you ought to hear his voice. You know, he has a good vocabulary that Satan has. You know? And we want to create this kind of image. And Paul's sitting there going, well, look, you're living in Rome. Can't be much worse than that, can it? You know, it's not about the righteous and the unrighteous. It's not about the good and the bad. It's about God. All our decisions are spiritual decisions. We think we can compartmentalize our life. Here's my spiritual life. Here's my church life. Here's my worldly life. Here's my work life. Here's my school life. That teacher's crazy. 3 days to write a term paper, they're whack. Nobody can do that. 1,000-word term paper in 3 days. I got all this other homework to do. That teacher, come on. You know, I'm saying these because these are experiences I've had, all right? I thought the same thing. But we need to understand that God's in control, and all this boils down to a spiritual decision. But I'm sure there's going to be those times, well, you know, what would happen if my dad says, we're going to go rob a bank? Dad says, let's get in the car, and we're going to go over here to B of A, and we're going to rob the bank. Should I obey my dad? You know, the Bible says submit to authority. Here's what you need to do. I'll make this as simple as I can. God has set up a system. If your dad tells you to go rob a bank, you appeal to the next authority. All right? It's real simple. Call the cops. Seriously. That's what he's saying. Okay, if that doesn't solve the problem, call the next authority. You keep getting to, anytime you got a problem, just keep going up the authority path. I tell you where you're going to end up. You're going to end up with God. And God to make it right. Just, you don't rebel against authority. You submit to the authority, but you keep appealing to the next authority. I don't care what laws our states pass, what government, you know, the president, I'm not going to enforce this marriage act. We're not going to back Proposition 8. I don't care what they say. Guess who's got the ultimate authority? I'm going to tell you what. I don't care what we do as a nation. God's in control, folks. And I'm going to be on his side when it all falls out, all right? You know, one of my best pictures I love in the Bible, I'm serious. I love this picture in the Bible. It's Moses, my favorite biblical character. Moses had some problems, all right? People wanted to follow Moses and someone to go back. You know, the water's bitter. I'm tired of eating this stinking manna. Give me some quail. Give me. And they're whining and they're complaining. And Paul sits there and says, okay, Moses says, I've had it. All right. Choose sides. If you want to go with Korah, that's the guy's name. I'm not picking anybody here. Anybody here named Korah? Please don't raise your hand. All right. If you're going to follow Korah, you go over there. If you're going to follow me, you come over here. God's going to take care of it. Sure enough, they go their way. You think the 8.9 has been bad in Japan? Earth opened up and they disappeared. I'm going to stay on God's side. So whatever the authority is, doesn't matter what I think. It's not about the what. It's about the who. Now, this is what I wanted to drive at. This is why I said you had to hang with me. It's more like a Bible study this morning. But you look at your outline. My next point says, what does all this mean? Here's what it means. Because here's how it's worked. And this is why we're at where we're at today. We start questioning authority. We start questioning our parents. Do I really need to listen to my parents? Do I really need to pay attention to my boss? Do I need to submit to this authority? And we start questioning this authority. And we start doing the what? The what if? The whys? And we start rebelling. And we start ignoring. And we start disobeying. And we start disregarding. And then we start disregarding not just our parents, we start disregarding the laws. And we start bucking our government and the rules that society has set up to make it not anarchy, but a society of civilized people. And we start bucking these rules. And here's what we do, and this is what I don't think we understand and we haven't grasped. We start at the bottom rebelling those little authorities. And then we start rebelling the bigger authority. And then we start rebelling the biggest authority. And then we start rebelling God, because then we got to check God out. This is what happens. This is why we're at where we're at. This is why that relative truth is today. See, that's what the relative truth's all about today. See, the relative truth is what's good for me. Does it work for me? Now, it might not apply to you. And it might not be good to you, but it's good for me. You know, smoking marijuana, that's not good for everybody, but it helps me in my stress. And we start rewriting these things because we've thought about the what. And pretty soon we get to the point where God doesn't matter. We don't only question the government law. We don't only question our presidents. We start questioning God's word. Now, I'm going to tell you, it's okay to have questions. It's okay to push back. It's okay to say, I don't get it. That sounds stupid. That sounds silly. What do you mean marriage is a man and a woman thing? Come on. They're in love. And we start pushing back. What do you mean don't get drunk? Man, it feels good hugging that porcelain in the morning. And we push back. And we shove back. What do you mean no sex before you get married? It doesn't hurt anybody. And we push back. And then we wonder why. Why is everything all messed up? Why is the world in this condition? See, and what happens is we just start questioning this authority and rebelling. And pretty soon, we ignore God's word. I don't need any authority anymore. I know what I need. I know what's best for me. I'm smarter than everybody. I might not be the smartest person, but I can figure this out. I know the right decision to make. I don't need anybody telling me what to do. And we just start ignoring God. Because we started down here with that taxes. We started down here with that curfew. We started down here with that policy at work. We started down here, and I'm going to say it, speeding down the freeway. We started down here blowing by stop signs that we thought, man, nobody's there, nobody sees. And pretty soon we build and we build and we build until it really doesn't matter what God says. Doesn't matter what God says. I know. It feels right to me. It feels good to me. It makes sense to me. We just keep twisting it. See, does Satan do that? I mean, am I right or am I just kind of talking off my head? Does Satan just kind of just keep twisting it? It's okay. Nobody knows. Nobody sees. It doesn't matter. And we ignore and we blow off God's word. And I want to challenge you with this scripture right here. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be completely, thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's what God wants. And God uses some crazy human authority. Righteous and unrighteous, good and bad. I mean, you can go back through the Old Testament. Nebuchadnezzar, a bad king, but God used him. You can look through the scripture. You can see this all the time. But we got to come back. It's not about the what. We want to take each rule and dot its I and cross its T and does it work for me? And God says everything is a spiritual decision. Every decision is a spiritual decision. And if you start down here, you're going to get to the point where it doesn't matter what God says. It doesn't hurt anybody. It's a new generation. These are new days. These are new times. You know what's amazing to me? We're thinking it's new days and new times. We have this relative truth. Basically, relative truth says this. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. That's really what relative truth says. It's good for me. It may not be good for you, but it's good for me. And what's good for you may not be good for me, but it's good for you. So that's okay. You do your thing. I'll do mine. You know what's so amazing to me? Let's go back 3,000 years ago, and they did the same thing. I challenge, read the Bible. 3,000 years ago, guess what they said? Everybody did what was right in their own eyes. We haven't changed. I'm going to tell you, you think you're smarter than they were then? You're not. You can just do it quicker and faster and bigger, but you're no smarter. We're still in the same boat, but we keep pushing back. So I want to challenge you this morning. Like I said, I've went a long way around to come to this. It's not about the what, it's about the who. And every decision you make is a spiritual decision. Every decision you make is a spiritual decision. What time you went to bed last night in order to get up this morning when you had to jump your clocks ahead was a spiritual decision. You need to see that. How you drive your car or how I drive my car, and I don't have Christian stickers on my car, is a spiritual decision. We need to see that. This is what Paul is sitting here saying is all authority, all human authority. Now we can push back and we can question and just keep appealing. You know, it's like, God, what do you want? God, what do you want? I mean, you just take it up to God. Just go right to the next one. I remember working at the movie theater. I worked at a movie theater. I was assistant manager. My boss asked us to do illegal things, literally. I could tell you stories. I don't want to disgust you, so I'm not going to. But I wouldn't do it. I flat told him to his face, I'm not doing it. I did. I said, that's the authority. If you want to do that, you can do that. I'm not doing it. He was stealing petty cash, and I could, you know, tell you all sorts of stuff, and I just wouldn't do it. I pushed back. It's like, God, what do you want me to do? God said, don't do it. If you want to fire you, fire you. And that's what I told him. I'm not going to do it. I feel it's wrong. If you want to fire me, fire me. I quit finally. I got tired of it. But see, do we see that? I just want to challenge you. Look at this last scripture. Let me go here. As a Christian, I'm the best. That's your blank. As a Christian, I should be the best citizen. As a Christian, I should be the best son. As a Christian, I should be the best employee. Because who am I serving? I'm not serving them, and they're not my authority. They are the human authority, but ultimately, I'm serving who? God. It's all spiritual. We need to look at our lives that way. And I like this last year. Whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. That's what I want to challenge you. That's your life. You got decisions to make every day. Every day. We're going to walk out of here and I'm going to go out for lunch. I got a lunch engagement. Somebody's going to buy me lunch. Laura and I get free lunch today. I'm going to Black Bear. Lots of good food there at Black Bear. Now I'm going to pull up. You know what I'm going to do? I solved my problem. I am not going to worry about speeding today. Because I'm going to let Laura drive. All right? That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to let Laura drive me to Black Bear today. Then I don't have to worry about it. You got to make your decisions. I'm serious. I'm kind of joking about that. That's a battle for me. Where's your battles? Where are your fights? Will you submit to authority? Because whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. Bottom of the page, I put it this way. I serve God. I serve God. Will you do that?